What's up, everybody?
Hello.
What's up? All right.
Hey, hey. Yeah, so let's go in the order of who's on step three. Leads coming in, following up. Let's start there. Updates and questions, and then we'll go to step two and one for market selection and any deal.
This is Charles, Mike. I made 25 phone calls today. I got one potential lead that I just barely sent over a new one, but just about 5 minutes ago. So today was
okay to the coaching email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us what happened on the conversation.
Well, he's actually another investor.
Okay.
He's got about 13 rentals right now. This one, he said, has been vacant for about a year. He said that he would be willing to get rid of it. And he did mention, too, that he would be willing to bring about $5,000 to the table if he needed to.
No, that never happens. Oh, wait. Yeah, one of the reoccurring themes. It's incredible, guys. Just because your offer is below what somebody owes doesn't mean you don't make it. So, interesting. So, it's a landlord. He has a problem. Property's been sitting vacant. What does he owe on it?
He owes 32.
Okay. And how did the conversation come up that he said he'd be willing to bring five? Did he just offer that information?
Well, I built that script that you in one of the trainings. I built that into the lead generator. So I was just going down the questions and
nice.
And I asked him, you know, if I was to pay cash, what would you take? And that's when he said, well, if I had to bring some money to the table, I would. So I'd bring about $5,000 to the table.
That's a trip. Did you have time to look into it at all? To analyze it, pull comps or anything? Are you there, Charles?
Hi there.
Sorry,
I
muted myself accidentally.
I
want
to congratulate
you. After repair value is about 63, but it does need quite a bit of work. It's probably like 18,000.
Okay.
So
okay.
This may be a buy and hold scenario for the end buyer.
Yeah, what do you think it rents for?
$750 a month.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a little bit low. How big is it?
It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, about 1,100 square feet, he said.
1,100. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, you're right on the front end of this. That's crazy, though, that that he already threw that on the table. So,
yeah.
And if he,
beat
if
him down some more,
five,
man. Beat him down. Beat him down.
I was going to say, if right up front he offers to bring five, that doesn't mean that you're done there. So, yeah, you know, get
right.
into analyze it, run the numbers, you know, see what it looks like. But yeah, that's cool, man. This is fun getting in the middle of these conversations. So
it is, yeah. It's
good
pretty
stuff.
Exciting.
So how many vacants do you have currently?
I've got 106. My bird dogs
vacants.
Are, yeah, they're on their spring break right now, so they're with their kids and doing their thing. So I'm hoping to have more after this weekend coming up.
Gotcha. Hey, if any of you hire college kids as bird dogs and they're on spring break, just have them pull vacants in Havasu. Just side note. All right? Yeah, it's also a requirement that at least 60% of you laugh at my bad jokes. So, 106 vacants. And then, Charles, how many do you have skip traced out of the 106?
I believe 60. Yeah. 65.
Okay. Dropping. Okay. Good stuff. Remember, it's a race to 250, so stay on the gas.
Will do.
Do you have a bird dog that is not on spring break?
No.
I'd hate for
no,
your business
these guys
to be on
are
hold
my main
for
one.
Somebody else's. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got to get another batch to my skip tracer so I can get them to him tonight and then have more to call on this weekend. So
perfect.
Just moving.
Okay. Yeah, and then you sent those deals into the coaching email, so I'll jump in there. But, yeah, do an analysis on this one. You know, you've got a live one, so run it through, you know, the fix and flip and the buy and hold estimator. Get used to them. You know, it's pretty clear on this one what we think is going to make more sense from an exit strategy. That rent only being at 750 and the place needs a ton of work, you know, it sounds like that could be a challenge. But, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, let's get all the numbers on the table in front of us so we can try and make an intelligent decision on it. So, good job, Charles. Who else is making phone calls to their vacants? I heard John on here. I know you are. I know we have some others, too.
It's Gary. I'm making calls.
Yep. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, actually, I found a realtor, too, that I'm working with that works with investors. Yesterday we sent out two offers on homes.
Two cash offers?
Good. Yes. Yes.
Okay, tell us about them.
One is a 4 and 2. It's 1,874 square feet. It's a swimming pool in the backyard.
Yep.
It's a flip that died in the middle of it. So they've got about 80% of it done.
Couldn't get it home, huh?
They couldn't get it home.
Okay.
So it looks like the ARV on that home will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $140,000.
Okay.
And the price, the offer that I gave them was $82,000. And if you put 40 in it, 120, so you'll make about 15 to 20 on the deal after all done.
Okay. Let me throw this out there. You've got to run this through the fix and flip deal analyzer.
I did. I'm just
okay.
I've got the numbers in there.
Okay. So if they have carrying costs, if they sell it to an agent, do you have 6% in there selling? Because if I'm all in, if I'm all in at 120 and I don't have carrying costs or interest or any of that in there, and I'm selling at 140, I'm not making 20.
Yeah, I did. I was just quoting those numbers by memory, Mike. But I ran it to the deal analyzer.
So do you think there's 15 in it or there's 20 in it?
From what I remember, I think it's 15 profit.
Okay. Kind of a rule of thumb. Now, right, granted, you're going to talk to different buyers that are going to say, you know, they're going to give you different numbers. But the common rule of thumb floor for fix and flip, folks, is $20,000. I've got to make 20 because 20 minus a surprise or two is 12 to 15. 15 minus a surprise or two is getting a little dicey. So, but Gary, you're the control. Well, you've got the offer out. Let's get you in control first if you have to go back and renegotiate. Do you know what they owe on this thing?
No, because it was when it started. I think that there's nothing owed on the home because the previous owner before this investor was a family transfer.
Okay.
And the investor, they didn't record that particular purchase.
Gotcha.
So I can't tell the investor paid.
It's okay, guys. If you're a little high, as long as you have as long as you're the deal on the table, you've got some inspection time or whatever the case. Going back to renegotiate is very common. So, hey, another side note: when you take over something that's under construction, Gary, you're going to want to call the city and talk to the permitting department on this address and ask them if the work up to this point was permitted, right? And also if the permits have since expired. Because if you're going to pick up somebody else's problem, the city can do all sorts of things with, hey, these were never closed out, so let's go back to square one, or, they can play it different. But anytime construction's underway, make sure you look into that, because as soon as you buy it, it's your issue, regardless of where permits are or where they left off. So, yep.
Yeah.
I figured you'd do that, but I thought I'd bring it up.
No, it's great. It's great because that reminds me. But there's going to be a lot of negotiation on this home, I have a feeling.
Yep. And they're, I mean, obviously they've experienced some pain around it. So this is great. What's the other deal? You said you had two.
Yeah, the other deal.
What's the other one?
Yeah, the other deal is a 3-in-1 that's 1,312 square feet.
Okay.
It's doesn't need much work.
Okay.
The ARV is about 120, and this one I went in low. I went in at 58,000.
Yep.
Because even though you look at comps in the area, right behind the house is a huge railroad yard.
Okay.
So I didn't believe the comps.
Do you know if the yard's active or fairly dormant? Any idea?
Pardon?
Do you know if the railroad yard is active or dormant?
It's active.
Okay.
It's active.
So it's a noisy place.
It's possible it's noisy, so that's why I went
yeah.
low. Because I couldn't, the ARV, even though there's some other homes in the area, I said, it's not worth the risk.
Yep.
So,
yeah, what were the other ones selling for in the area that aren't on the railroad?
If you go two blocks away,
yep.
Same size, everything, they're selling at 125, 140.
Okay.
But I'm
two,
not.
It's amazing what two blocks, although even one block.
I know. That's why
you get a block off the highway, right? You know that. It's pretty quiet. So, okay.
Yeah. So
good stuff. Were these both vacant?
But I had still pulling vacant the and still calling. I'm behind getting the over to the skip tracers. They are now the bird dogs are still performing way above expectation.
How many vacants are yet?
Yeah, I'm up to 650.
And how many do you have skip trace? You're going to need a team of skip
trace. I have 200 skip trace, and I need to crank a lot more over to the VAs. So,
yep. Cool.
I am working on a third deal, but this one.
What's the third?
It's a 3,258 square foot home.
Okay.
It's been boarded up for a year and a half.
Okay.
And two investors bought the home, and there's something wrong with the home or something wrong with their deal. Because doing the skip tracing and looking around, I found one of the owners is selling his house. So something
okay.
may have gone sideways and they need cash. So I have a call in to the investors and I'm waiting for their call back.
Okay. Cool. So that's
it's
a bigger
great
one.
Home.
Yeah.
yeah
what,
and that,
what kind of shape is this thing in?
That I can't, just looking at the pictures.
Not sure yet.
It's a brick frame. It's
okay.
in a very nice neighborhood. The comps okay. in that neighborhood are about 570. But I did find out they paid $429 for the home, and they're going to have to take less because, I ran it through Deal Analyzer, and at $570, you buy at $429, you're not making much money by the time you pay everything.
Yeah, was this another fix and flip gone bad?
I can't tell, and like I said, I left them a message, the investors
okay.
a message.
Gotcha.
I have all both, right. from the skip tracing, I have both of them. I have their homes and everything, so
yeah.
I'll at least get to them. But I can, just looking at this is going to be, there's going to be some problems to work through, but that's okay. That's what life
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. That's right. That's what we solve problems.
So,
interesting.
So obviously,
we're all focused on the bottom end of the market, but, other stuff's going to come your way. It doesn't mean there isn't opportunity in other places, right? But when we talk about, how do we go into a market and get paid the quickest, again, I've mentioned it before, we're playing the percentages, right? More people, more buyers can afford a cheaper house. more landlords are looking for a cheaper house, that kind of thing. So we're playing the numbers, but deals like this are gonna come on the table. You know, some, you know, fairly early on, like it did for Gary, and others will be down the line. So good stuff, Gary. You've got a whole lot more deals because you have 450 that aren't skip trace yet.
Oh yeah, I've interviewed three contractors. This last home, the 3,200 square foot home, was a contractor brought it to me. You know, interviewed three contractors, and one of the guys, oh yeah, we're going to work together. Said, in fact, here, I have this home, and I said, I'll find out. Let's do it. So I skip trace for him, and also
killer. So many of those stories that have happened. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I also interviewed last week six different realtors, found one that's good. We're working at investors, and she's the one that put the two offers in.
Okay.
So still, you know, doing a lot of stuff.
I
talked to two private lenders because, you know, going back on the idea that Rob presented of, you know, you find a buyer, find the home, private lender, and then you make money off the transaction.
Yep.
I'm still working towards that goal.
Cool. Yeah, having access to private money, obviously, you know, regardless of how you do it, opens up options. So
yes.
That's where we're all headed. We don't talk about it right up front. We gotta get in the middle of deals. But yeah, you're knee deep in them, and you're about to be neck deep when you get those next 450 skip traced. And get some phone calls going. So,
and I sent out, I sent out 125 probate letters also. So, I'm pushing everywhere I can.
Telling you what, cool. Great update, Gary. We'll look forward to hearing what happens with these contracts that are out. So, hey John, why don't you jump in? Because I know you're at this step.
Hey.
You sent me an email earlier, so. Yeah, tell us what's going on.
Well, we went over and met the seller at this house, and, you know, like I told you, it's a vacant lead. And in all honesty, this is a house I looked at that was listed over a year ago. And the guy...
Now it's vacant?
Well, no, it's got a month-to-month tenant in it, but the guy's partner is 83 years old. This guy's 60-something, and they're wanting out, and the guy keeps calling me. And so I kind of, you know, reversed wholesaled it to a certain degree and got one of my buyers really interested in it. And so we kind of went over the numbers and, you know, going to lock it up today. And I hadn't been in the house in a year, right? So we find out it needs a roof, so that's kind of kinked the numbers a little bit. But to my advantage, you know, I run the numbers like my buyer buys. So, And so I underestimated the ARV $3,000 of what he's calling it. So the roof cost is, you know, I might lose a grand there, but in the morning when he gets in, you know, this is the acquisition manager that I deal with. He's going to rework the numbers. What he saw, we found a small foundation issue that I think can be cured with floor leveling jacks, which is, you know, not a big expense if you do it right. And, so he's going to rework the numbers, and we're going to come up so I can finalize all the contracts tomorrow. This guy keeps blowing me off, saying, I've got this girl from Florida offering me $19,640. I said, well, why the weird number?
Right.
So, but anyway, so, you know, he and I have agreed on $19,500, and I'm trying to sell it for $26,500. So.
Okay, and did you say you have a buyer already?
Yeah, my buyer looked at it today, so he's going to rework his numbers. Where he found those, you know, the roof is an issue. You know, it's about $3,500 on a house that size here, and the floor jack issue, and, you know, a couple of minor things, which is probably going to add maybe $4,500 to his rehab costs. So I've got a little leeway. I could still make a little check on it. You know, probably at least $5,000, $5,500.
A little room to move.
A little room to move, so we're going to try.
When do you anticipate having it under contract? Did you say this afternoon or tomorrow?
I'm shooting for tomorrow. Because when I went back to the seller after the buyer left, I said, listen, man, you got this foundation thing and blah, blah, blah. And he tried to by ignorant, you know. But the guy, he's a builder. He knows what's going on. He's just
trying
to say, well, I got this girl that offered me blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but she's in Florida, man. He said, what are you going to do with it? You're going to just flip it? I said, yeah, we flipped other investors. He said, I don't know if you got much room here. I said, that's why I'm talking to you, man. I said, but you don't want to deal with any investor in Florida. You know, they're going to be doing the same thing I'm doing, and I've got the local guys that have the money.
That's right. So, nice. Just meet their issue head on.
Yeah, cool. Straight up. So I held nothing
back.
Right. So.
That's right.
So that hopefully should be under contract tomorrow, and I have
Tell us you got a buyer on that other one. That church.
No. No, man. It's just swinging in the breeze, man.
What are buyers saying on it? What's the reason for not buying it?
Well, the house next to it, even though it's rented out, it seems vacant, and
Can you get it for less? Because price tiers just
tried.
About everything, right? Well,
I've been down that road.
Or they only want cash?
They only want cash. So,
okay, I figured you had explored this, but I was chewing on this going, wait a minute.
It's kind of like, it's a halfway decent area, but, you know, they only come out at night. You've heard that. So, and so some don't like the area, and it's really a two-bedroom, and they say to make it a three-bedroom. It's not difficult, dude. It's just framing one wall about 20 feet with no electric. You don't even need electric. It's
and
just
what is it
duds and drywall.
At a three-bed?
About eight.
Man.
775 to eight at the least 750, but you get 800 where it's at. So.
And landlords won't take it.
I'm baffled, man. You know, it has some dampness in the garage underneath. But it's not major, man. It's just it's 16 grand to be in that house and pay me 14 to be all in at 30 grand. You know, I've even tried to come down to 12. One guy, 11, the guy that sent me up there three times. And,
right.
And then he tried to tell me I can wholesale it, man. And I kept putting him off because, you know, I don't want him to waste my time. Then he gave me the guys he was going to try to wholesale it to, and I contacted them. And one guy said he looked at it last year and didn't like it. So.
Gotcha.
Would you own it as
a rental?
I would think twice about it.
You would?
Yeah. Because I know the market. So. I mean, I would, but I would probably want to be all in it in the low 20s. So.
Right. And what do you have tied up at?
8,500.
Okay.
And this one guy that sent me out there three times, I told him I couldn't take less than 11. So, and
here's the thing: this is just going to be a problem for a church. I mean, somebody's given the church the house, right? Is that what they're doing?
Right. The guy's the church's brother. Right.
I mean, if they would take a couple hundred bucks a month and get their whatever $8,000 back, you don't think they'll do it? What if that's the only option?
They might.
So could you sell the terms if you had, you know, X amount,
make
$5,000 for the terms, sell it to a landlord, pay the church back over time?
Well, that's a thought, because what I was getting at was this guy I've been working with that I've done a bunch of deals with, he's been feeding me his junker leads that he doesn't want because he's got a buyer that has strict criteria. And we've got a lot of activity going on with the leads. I've been chasing up all his missed calls, and I've got two offers in on some of those houses. But he's working with a realtor who has a guy who has money, and he's trying to work on the money guy to be a private lender for us so we can all work these deals and take them down. And, you know, he wants to take them down and dust them off and put them back on the market or sell to these other hedge funds and stuff that are buying and paying good prices. So, I mean,
he might. There's got to be a solution here. If I think of anything else, I want to get some other updates here, but there's got to be a solution here. I mean, here's the thing: you know the buyers in the area. The buyers aren't taking it. That's easy to communicate to the church. So here's the thing: you know, church, you're gonna have this house that nobody wants that you can't sell. So I've got a better solution for you.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at, this guy with a private money option guy, he's trying to get him to go look at it, and they're thinking about buying it. So, I mean, if I can do a turnstile, they would,
right.
Like, my friend Jason would love to do a turnstile because he loves those things. I mean,
what if you go to the cities surrounding in Craigslist and start finding buyers there? What if you go to the surrounding states? What if you call property managers in, you know, one state over and say, hey, here's what I'm sitting on. Who do you know that's buying? Let's expand the reach a little bit. So if I think of anything else, I'm going to email you, but I want to get some more updates here because we're 25 minutes in already.
Yeah, I know.
So, which
I know.
Is
but
fine.
Anyway,
I've got
besides that, I've got two other offers in on some of these other jobs and a couple more pending offers. So.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good stuff, John.
All right.
Good stuff. Okay. Who else is making offers on here? I want to make sure we're going to start on whoever's on step three here. Okay. Let's just go wide open. Who else is on?
Mike.
Deal about? Yeah.
This is Josh. I made some offers earlier this week.
Yeah, you did. You had a couple working. I got the email.
Yeah, I got a four house deal that I made an offer on a guy with. He came in with a good return if you want rentals. One of his places has fire damage, and then the other three are two of them are rented right now. One of them is getting ready to be rented. And I actually talked to the owner, you know, and spoke to him, which he's kind of one of those guys who real estate isn't his thing. He's got several gigs going on.
Yep.
And he doesn't even know what he's doing with it. He just knows he has it, and he knows that he's trying to get rid of it, and he's got a guy that's taking care of all that. So, you know, real cool guy. Talked to him, established a relationship with that, and then he tossed me over to his realtor and talked to him for a good little bit and then explained to him, hey man, you know, I know you're a realtor. I want you to get your piece. You know, we work with realtors all the time. You know, we can send you a contract. And if you bring, you know, if you bring a buyer on the other side, I mean, it is what it is, you know. But we can bring you cash buyers to close this. So, you know, sent him over an offer yesterday for 80 for four houses.
Okay.
And,
what do you think
you
the
know,
four
he,
valued at?
About 50 fixed up. Is about what they go for up there.
Each of them?
Around that area. Yeah, about 50.
Okay, so a four-house deal, total ARV of 200, and you offered 80. I'm just trying to get bulk numbers here.
Yeah, right. And that's if everything goes right. If everything goes right, that's how much they're worth. And then you know, you could say 180 for four of them.
Right.
So,
how bad
is
the fire damage in the one?
And he said it was fixable. I tried to get a number out of him. He was telling me that, you know, you can fix it for $15,000-$20,000.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, I'll just have to get one of my guys out there to look at it. But I mean, if you did a return on, I mean, one rents for $680, the other two rent for $550, I want to say, or maybe five. But I mean, if you do the return on it, I mean, it's a great return, you know. So I sent him a contract. He said he was going to be talking to the owner last night about it, and I haven't heard from him yet today. I just sent him a text a little bit ago, just to say,
hey, so one thing on that, on your contract, when did you put in there that the offer's good till? Did you kind of force the issue a little bit, or did you leave it open-ended?
Like 3 days. I gave him like 3 days.
Yeah,
because I knew. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's pretty. I was going to say, I know that the guy was I know he's kind of all over the board, you know, and it sounds like he's probably a hard guy to run down. He's got an insurance company. He's got several different things that he's doing. So I want to give him a couple days, but I don't want to just say, hey, you can, you know, get back with me in 2 weeks. hey, there's some sort of sense of urgency here. Let's get this thing done.
So I just wanted to speak to that idea a little bit, right? It varies situation to situation, but one of the strategies that we certainly use is force people to make a decision. You know, give them an offer with an abbreviated time frame. You know, we've even gone, hey, I'm going to send it over now, and the offer's good till, you know, so what, 6:30? You got 2 hours.
Right.
Is that enough time
okay.
for you to review it and sign it and get it back to me? So some of those things, right, it's situational. You know, this one has an agent taking it. But for an offer to be in, a guy sounds motivated to sell. They have 3 days now. There's mild urgency for a realtor to explain the offer to their client and have a, you know, have a reply back to you by noon tomorrow is not unlikely unless, you know, somebody's overseas on safari or whatever. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Sure.
And that's just out there for everybody. If you guys, you know, it's one of the ways you can kind of drive this thing a little bit, force a decision and say, hey, I'm dead serious. I want these, you know, call your client, get back to me by noon tomorrow. Contract's on its way. So anyway.
All right. Okay. Yeah, no, perfect. Yeah.
It's in place now.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I kind of played with the other girl. She's just, man, you know, with the other four houses, you know, like I told her, I said, man, we're almost in two different worlds. And she's like, I really want to sell them. You know, the other day, everything I told you with that. And I said, I'd get back with you in a few days. And I was going to touch base with her this afternoon because she's in California and just, you know, see where they were at. See, you know, just, she's not motivated enough is the problem, but she's getting closer.
That's what it sounds like. And here's what's perfect, guys, right? This is a posture. This is a posture game. Whether you like that or not, it is. So Josh, you could have compressed the time frame a little bit on the four house offer. When you have a seller that's kind of ho-humming, you want all the time in the world on that one because you want her chomping at the bit for your return phone call. And I know you get that, right? I'm just bringing it to the table here so that people understand.
Sure.
It's just a posture game. It is. This is sales. So force the issue to get something that you want. And if you've got a buyer like this lady that's sort of kicking the tires, not really motivated, you know, you can blow her off a little bit because you're the conversation she's having, and we know that because she's reaching out to you, right?
Right.
I mean, you gave us the update on Monday. You know, she's calling back and saying, hey, you know, let's get this done. I want to sell them. But, you know, her price is too high. So in her case, not a priority. You know, go talk to somebody, you know, just let her chase you. So good stuff, you guys. These are the little wins, obviously, on the roadmap to the, you know, to the closed deals. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So obviously that's the goal, but this, you know, these are huge steps that all of you brought up. So good update.
We have one more offer on a house with a $46,000 note still left on it, and me and Quinn tried to work with it, see if we could maybe get some terms on it, and it's real tight. So I touched base with a guy and said, can you get me a for sure number on how much you owe? And then, you know, because we gotta know if this deal is going to work. Every dollar matters. So that's just
– So they owe 46 on it?
They owe 46, and this probably works. 50, and there's some damage there, but I mean, you know, if you got the guy who you know, that can't get any financing and you know, that's what you got to look for in this deal, but it's tight.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah, this is the reality. Some deals are going to come across the table that seem kind of slam dunk and they don't owe anything and make a cash offer and run, and then there are going to be some others that take a little more work. So the key, obviously, is to have a bunch in the pipeline, right? And so, you know, you want to put some time, energy, and effort into this deal, but you know it's a little tight, so it's not a number one priority, most likely, right? Maybe the seller's willing to bring some money to the table. But, that's where you guys will have to fill these out and say, okay, here's what needs to happen today, because it's easy to get caught up in a deal like this one you just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And to not go generate, you know, 3, 4, 5 more, that would be a little easier. So just be conscious of you know, how the valuable resource of time is getting spent on these. Like, same with that lady. She's not super motivated.
Yeah.
she's a priority yeah. number three in the day. So.
Right, exactly.
Good stuff.
Yep.
All right, guys. Yeah, strong update. Who else is making offers talking to sellers? Anyone? I don't have everybody's name that's on. So, yeah, let's go. Who else is on that has an update and or questions?
Yeah, this is Mike. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Who spoke first? And I think I heard Olivia.
I'm on as well.
Hey, Olivia.
Okay. Hey. So I have an update.
Yep.
I have got 10 more leads in, so I've up into the 50s.
Okay.
I had sent you an email, Mike. I'm not sure you got it, but I have a gal. I'm still interested in that Android app for Snap. If you have it, if that fell through or
the Android app.
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing an email from you. What was your question about it, real quick?
Do we have one?
Do we have a what?
Do we have a video for the Android?
Oh, not a video, but I put together that document that shows how it works with screenshots.
Maybe I missed that. I got it for the iPhone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I added it. Somebody maybe confirm or deny. I built it. Whether or not I think I uploaded it. Olivia, I tell you what, I'm making a note to myself to email it to you. It's
okay.
Got snapshots on it. Yeah, I actually had Andrew. Brian's not with us tonight, but he was having issues, and then I had Andrew jump in because he has one of each phone, and so
he fired
over screenshots for me.
Well, send it to me, too, because I sent one to mine.
It should be uploaded, everybody.
I sent one to mine today, and it came in with no photos. So.
Mm-hmm,
okay, so Android.
Mm-hmm.
Android Home Snap. Okay, I'm going to make sure it's uploaded, and then I'm going to make sure that Olivia and John have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Yeah, and I got my skip trace back, so I'm going to start calling the vacant house owners. I got 7 cash buyers on my that came off that list from FreedomSoft.
Okay.
And they're all so 7.
Did you have them skip trace?
All...
You had 7 total, or you just grabbed 7?
Oh no, I did all 3 sheets. I had them all skip traced, like the top
30. Oh, gotcha,
gotcha.
So you have names and you have numbers for 7.
Yeah, I called all 30 of them, all the 30 numbers, and I got 7 yeses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Really
and
nice.
And they're all
okay.
cash buyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have
55
vacants. How many do you have skip traced?
I have 40 of those skip traced. I haven't done the recent ones.
Okay. And have you started making calls yet, or you said you were about to?
I'm going to start tomorrow now that I have the buyers. But you know what? I probably need to have you email the whole process because, I'm not sure how you start. You've gone over it. So
yep.
We don't
here's what I want you to do, Olivia. We're going to offer first. Yeah, so
okay.
A lot of investors get hung up here. Oh, my gosh, I have to run all the numbers and an ARV and a yada, 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 and I got to run a full deal eval, and then I'm ready to make an offer, and that's backwards.
Right.
Right. We make offers. We get them close. We become the contract on the table, and then we can adjust if need be. So here's what I want you to do. As these are being skip traced, I want you to jump into step 4.
Okay.
In the coaching center. Because Rob has a really simple script, and there's a video in there. You heard Charles talking about it. He was just reading the script. You can build it into your FreedomSoft as custom fields, so you'll never get on the phone and get tripped up.
Great.
It's very simple. Rob has this great intro where you just come clean right up front and say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is how I do it.
Okay.
And then you just have a conversation. And then that training will show you some other questions to ask. So, yep, while those are being skip traced, or it sounds like you have 40, so you need to get through that training video ASAP and then get on the phone and just know
start making the call.
Your first 3, if they go sideways, so what, right? Nothing lost. So.
Yeah, nothing to lose. Okay.
You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. I mean, worst case scenario is you get so tongue-tied, you just hang up the phone, chuckle, and dial the next one. It probably won't happen, but the worst thing that happens is you hang up on somebody who will forget about it in 5 minutes. That's worst case scenario, all right?
Okay.
So, there's really not much that can go wrong there. So, all right. And Olivia, race to 250. So, how busy are your bird dogs?
Racing.
We're at 55. We have 200 to go.
Well, had a bit, little bit of a glitch where the photos weren't coming through.
Okay, so you need that. I'm going to give you that document. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And really step on the gas with those. Because you,
I
mean, everybody on here, you hear what happens when you get vacants in the door and you start picking up the phone, whether you have experience or not. It just, you start getting in the middle of stuff. And that's exactly where you're all going to be. That's where we want you, right?
Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yep. And then who else chimed in simultaneous with Olivia? You're supposed to say Jake.
That was me, Naive.
Hey, Naive.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. All right, yeah. So for the custom fields for the seller leads, you know, when you do the customs and you want to put in the script, that arrangement stays when I, you know, if I go to the instant leads and get the leads, and when I save the lead, and if I want to call somebody, then that works. But if I want to generate a lead, then that custom field doesn't stay there. It's very different then. Is that supposed to be that way?
It should. No. You could have a condition in there, and I'd have to look in your account. Here's what's kind of cool about FreedomSoft, but sometimes it'll hide things, and people don't know why. So you can put a condition on custom fields. So, for instance, you can say, if the source is MLS, then show a box that says listing agent, list price, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
If source is not MLS, don't show that because you don't need a listing agent or an MLS number. So my guess is you have a condition somehow set on your custom fields, and you can find that if you go to your settings and custom fields and then click edit, there's a little drop down that's conditional. So if you're still stuck, shoot me an email and I'll log into your account.
I will definitely.
Through.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Let me just write that down. Condition. Okay. After I completed step two, you know, and step one as well, which I'll talk about afterwards. But, one thing with step two is like, you know, for my maximum allowable offers, to let's say fix and flippers and, landlords, you know, if I can get a house where if I can get it down to, let's say, 40 to 50 for and give it to a fix and flipper, how can
40
I
to 50 what?
$1,000. No, that's the sell price.
Okay.
All right. So the sell price to the buyer, so the buyer is buying it from me anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
But, right. Now, if it's a landlord, they need to buy it from me almost $10,000 to $20,000 cheaper. So from the seller's end, why would somebody sell a house, you know, at that cheap? And if I could get it that cheap, why wouldn't I just give it to a fix and flipper?
Yeah, a lot of times landlords can pay a little more, but it does just depend. So there isn't really, so here's what you need to know. There isn't really a rule of thumb. We want to analyze deals both ways so that we can get our marketing right. Is it clearly a better buy and hold deal or a better fix and flip deal, or is it both? Some deals will be both. Some will lean one way or the other. Rule of thumb, landlords can tend to pay a little bit more, and the reason why is because they don't usually put in as much in the fix-up. So to get a house rent-ready is a different fix-up budget than to get a house, you know, retail market sale-ready.
Right.
But again, I'm throwing some generalities out. It really is based on buyer to buyer. So as you start to build your buyer's list, you're going to ask them, what are you buying? How do you run the numbers? How do you determine if the deal is a deal, right? How do you pull the trigger? And you're going to get really specific answers from people. And they'll say, you know, fix and flip investors will typically say, if I can make $25,000 on a deal, I'll take a look at it and typically buy it. Not always, but that's the most common answer. A lot of times landlords, the most common answer will be that I'm trying to make X amount per door, which means they're just trying to make a net, right? Let's say rent is $1,000. Well, that doesn't mean their cash flow every month is $1,000, right? Because they got to have to account for repairs, vacants, probably, 10% property management. So rule of thumb on that is take 70% of the rent, and that's about what you can use. If they pay cash for it, that 70% is their net cash flow. If they have debt, so if they buy the rental with borrowed money, then you take 70% minus the payment for the money, and that's their net rent. So that's the that's the most common one. I can make $550, if I can make $550 net per door, whatever, I'll consider it. But again, you'll get different answers. So.
Okay. And another question I had was, for step three, before we start generating leads, when we choose the market in step one, will we be using the driving for dollars in the market we choose, or is that will be in Texas? Like, what is the relationship between
you're
going to
hire? You're going to hire bird dogs in the market you pick.
Okay,
you got it.
So
and you've seen how quick people go from. I mean, as soon as those vacants come in and they get skip traced and you get on the phone,
right?
Things pop. That's just the way it works.
Okay, so then what will we be doing in Texas then? Because that's one thing.
Yep. Yeah, a little bit different setup, co-op, and that's really some dollars that we drive
that's later on
office here to generate the leads. We're not gonna plug it in immediately. So
okay, all right.
I'll reach out to you when we're ready there. Yep.
Okay, and my last question is that because, you know, before I joined the program, I had, you know, we were doing MLS approach and a couple of other things. So one.
I lost you.
Can you hear me?
You now you're back. Yep, now you're back.
Oh, so I placed my call didn't drop. That's amazing. All right, so before I joined in, you know, into the group. We had a couple of deals in the pipeline, and we have two in particular. And one of them is really, I think, is a deal, and I ran the deal analyzer, and it's absolutely amazing. I love it. You know, I'm glad you guys, you know, put that as a step. So the question is that whether it's these MLS properties or the off-market properties, and because we're, you know, doing it virtually, the question that I mainly had is, like, moving forward, how do we deal with somebody getting pictures or putting in a lockbox? Is there like a service we can hire, or what exactly is what do you recommend we do? Because for this particular property, the seller, for example, wants somebody to come and see the property or somebody related with us. Now I can get the realtor in there, but she might she's a bit far from it, and it might be a week or two before she can go there. But
another agent. Rule of thumb, everybody. If you're going to send somebody into a house, your best bet, not your only bet. I mean, some of you have family and friends in some of the markets you're working, and it's like your uncle or somebody. Then you trust them, so you're going to send them into somebody else's house. But it's a little bit riskier with a bird dog because you don't really know them, right? Somebody was asking me, should I have a bird dog? You know, run up, peek in the window. Absolutely not. Stay on the curb or stay in your car, shoot a photo through HomeSnap, send it in. Now, over time, you develop a great relationship with them. That may change, but remember that you've got people now doing work on your behalf, so it comes back to your instruction. So the reason you go with an agent is because they're licensed. They fall under the real estate commission. They go into a house and do something stupid. It's their career on the line, right?
Okay.
So use agents, lockboxes. You've got to, you know, take a buyer to a showing, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. Your best bet is to get a licensed local agent. So if this agent you're talking about is far away and can't get there in 2 weeks, find somebody that's local.
Okay. The thing is that this agent is making an offer on my behalf as the buyer's agent. Then there's the seller's agent. If I now
get there for you.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Perfect.
Tell them to make it happen.
All right.
Yeah, you don't. Perfect. If they're already involved, don't get another agent involved that wants to get paid as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You got it.
Perfect. Thanks.
Let's. I know we were going back and forth on email, so let's try and have that market by tomorrow. I know you blew through step two already.
Because we were we've been making calls to investors and because you said in the email to call wholesalers. Hard money lenders and whoever the heck I can get a hold of.
Shoot me your results into the email after that.
Okay, I'll do that. And because sometimes they don't want to really say anything. I've had a couple of those like,
just ask anyway. Just
go to the next guy then.
Ask anyway and go to the next one. Yeah, eventually you'll get somebody that's just a natural born talker and they'll tell you everything you want to know.
And should I call up realtors or no?
You could. Yeah. So, you know, I've spoken to this quite a few times on office hours, but here's the thing. Realtors do a great job, right? We've always valued their service, but they don't always see the world through an investor's eyes. So when they give you advice, let me tell you this, when Rob goes into a new market, he'll call an agent. And this is exactly what he says. He goes, hey, I'm an out-of-state buyer. I want to start buying in, you know, whatever city, USA. He goes, knowing that I'm from out-of-state, what are the neighborhoods that you would tell me to avoid? And they mm-hmm. list them, and then Rob, you know, thanks them for their time, and that's where he starts looking for deals. Those are the neighborhoods he goes to. Because all of their training is retail, retail, retail. And people come to him and say, you know, I can afford a $250,000 house. Find me the nicest house in the nicest neighborhood for that price. And that's the mm-hmm. lens that they view real estate through. As investors, we come to the table and we look at it from, you know, a 180-degree perspective where mm-hmm. we want the crappiest house. And, you know, we still want an okay neighborhood a lot of the times, or, you know, sometimes not even, but we look at the other end of the market, right? What looks good to us doesn't look good to somebody that's been trained to go after typical quote-unquote retail real estate. So, yes, you can talk to agents. You're better off talking to the three I told you, hard money lenders, property managers, and wholesalers, because they get it.
Okay, perfect.
So,
thanks.
Yep, who else? Who else? I know we have some more people chimed in.
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good.
I talked to a wholesaler in Pittsburgh. He was very talkative, which was awesome. Just before this call.
Yep.
And so I got the lowdown on some good places. I'm all excited. So far, so good.
Yeah. Cool. That sounds good. Yeah. So Tom, you're gonna go straight to step three.
You'll find
some of step two interesting. So I want you to get through it, but this is all about, as everybody on here can hear, this is about vacant leads, skip-traced vacant leads, and you will be in the middle of deals, period. It happens fast. So
good.
Let's
do it.
We're gonna go a little bit ready, fire, aim, and we'll fill in some holes when we need to. So, yeah, good stuff,
okay.
Tom. And then you sent me a question about that tech, too. I have, and I replied to you. I don't know. I'll have to ask them what to do with that video. So,
yeah. And are any of these, can I get any kind of transcription on any of that stuff? Because I really like being able to go back and just pinpoint where I'm looking at.
Yeah, we don't currently have that program transcribed. So the controls would be the easier fix. I don't know. You know, it's probably not going to be a real high priority item, but I'm going to bring it up on the tech side. So, yep. Anything else? Decision made, onward step three. Yep. So follow step three. Any questions, shoot them into the coaching email.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the step, everybody. We try and get through one and two as quick as we can because we want the deals in the door and everybody on the phone. I mean, it just things happen when you jump on the phone. So who else is with us? Anyone? Any other questions?
Hey, Mike, Chad here.
Yeah. Hey, Chad.
Hey, I just wanted to get some feedback from you. If you saw those lists that I sent you, did you get a chance to look at them?
I don't think so. The lists. No, I didn't.
Yeah, we had a brief exchange about bird dogs.
We did.
We did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, my original question was about a couple lists that I'd sent, and I'm getting pretty low numbers, lower than I was anticipating as far as properties and stuff like that. So, but if you didn't get a chance to look at it, I could probably read them off, or do you think I should just focus on bird dogging right now? Because it
Absolutely.
Sounds like that's where the train is going.
On the vacants. Yeah, we're not going to get off script. That was a little bit, and so. I sort of course corrected and then I didn't look at the list because I want, we can go down that road. I don't want you going down it yet. This is about zero to deal and how quick can we do it? And you know, you hear people chiming in when you talk to vacants and here's why everybody, this isn't random. If you were to take a group of houses and say, you know, hey, I'm new in a city, I'm trying to get paid. Again, we play the percentages here. So we go the low end of the market because there are more deals there. They're easier to buy, and there are more buyers available, right? More people can buy a $50,000 house than can buy a $350,000 house, right? So, again, we're playing the numbers. And then you say, okay, which group of leads has the highest chance of having a motivated seller behind it? And the answer is vacants.
Okay.
A lot of things create motivation, but there's a really good chance if the house is sitting vacant that it's a problem. And you've heard through the conversations, most of the time they are. So very few people either inherit or, you know, had a rental and now it's sitting vacant and they're just like, yeah, I'll just pay the property taxes on it. I'll just pay somebody to mow the grass so I don't get fined by the city. I'll just do this, and they're okay with it, right? Vacant property causes pain most of the time. So we're going after the percentages. So, Chad, are we going to pull in lists, you know, text message marketing, some other strategies? Absolutely. Vacant's out of the gate. I want 100% of your effort there.
Okay. So I'll shift my focus into bird dogging and stuff, and we'll leave with building for later.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Cool. Yeah, I'll get some more ads out this evening, and then I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, so that actually brings up a good point. So Chad, he posted an ad on Craigslist in the gigs section. I think it's still free. Everybody, when you post, pay the whatever the amount is and put it in sales, real estate. There isn't really a perfect section in Craigslist, but don't throw it in gigs. Spend a couple, it's either like 25 or 35 bucks depending on the size of your city. Some, I think the really big cities are 45. Put it where it's going to get eyeballs. Just as a heads up. So.
You said put it in the actual real estate section, right? Specifically?
Yeah, put it in either real estate, a sales section, or the business man. That's what I was saying. There isn't really a perfect section in Craigslist, but put it where it's going to get eyeballs. Here's the other thing. It seems like it fits in general labor. And I was telling Chad, that's a lot of construction type stuff. So you may get some response there. Just don't put it in gigs.
Okay.
So a lot of construction type jobs and general labor, you may or may not find somebody with bird dogs. But, I mean, you can put it in sales and put, you know, easiest sales position you've ever heard of. Or, you know, put a flashy headline on it or something like that. And then you'll get somebody who's not expecting a W-2 position, right? I mean, you know, they're in the sales arena, so getting paid for bringing something to the table is pretty common. That's where we like to throw it. So, yep. Any other questions? What else?
No, I'm just going to just shift my focus and get into that instead of the list right now.
Yep.
So I'm just going to
put the list on hold.
Head on and keep on rolling with that.
There's a time and a place for it. It's just not yet. So.
Sure. Gotcha.
Is Lewis on? Lewis, are you on? No. Lewis had a closing on Monday, so I just wanted to get an update from him. See how it went. So he had a vacant under contract. If you didn't hear him tell his story on Monday, sent it out to a buyer's list, and a buyer that they had sold to before called him back and said, hey, I can go see it in about 30 minutes. Called him up and said he'd take it. So, I mean,
he's
exactly
Texas
how he wanted it to work. What's that?
He's at Texas Day Brazil, shaving off a steak.
I think he had some work travel coming up, if I remember from talking to him a few weeks ago. So he may be out of the country. I can't remember. But anyway, next time he's on, we'll get an update on it. So, yeah, everybody, good stuff. I mean, you know, it's a race to get in the middle of deals. A lot of you are there. The ones of you who aren't, you're going to be there very soon. And, you know, that's where, you know, we're going to learn through this whole process, but that's where it really all starts coming together. So...
I like this format, by the way. This is really good.
Which format? Office hours here?
Yeah, just having everybody else tell you about where they're at the deal.
I'm telling
you. Psyched up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, from our standpoint, it makes sense for a lot of reasons. So you bring it up. You know, we talk about it on the orientation call, which you all went through. So it really is one-on-one. You know, people ask, am I going to get one-on-one feedback? Absolutely. We do it in a group environment because it's so valuable for everybody else. You need to hear their questions, and they need to hear your questions.
Yeah, it's great.
So, yep.
Plus, Mike's real skinny, and he's spread real thin.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, if I can tell jokes on here, then other people can too. And I, you know.
That's right.
I can take a little.
What are you, 150 soaking wet, man?
Man, I told you this last time you made this comment. I weigh $175, and I have for 10 years.
That's what I was
going to
say, 125.
Yeah, John's giving me a hard time about it.
How tall are you?
6'2".
Wow. Yeah.
It's all that brain power, man. It's heavy matter up there.
I'm telling you.
when you've got an IQ in the mid 30s, that's a lot of brains to carry around.
Whoa. Okay.
Mensa right. hasn't called. If that means anything to anybody, they haven't invited me yet. So anyway, all right. More Mike jokes on Monday. So yeah, good updates, everybody. Stay focused. You know, that's part of it. This is, if you're new, you got to hear this. This is we're going to get some other things out of the way, but this is how quick can we get 250 vacant house leads, right? Things happen when those leads come in the door. So any questions, get them into the coaching email. John and Olivia, I'm going to track that document down before I head out today.
Cool.
I'll email it to both of you, and then I'll also make sure it's uploaded. And I think that's it. Everybody, thanks for being on. Go make it happen.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
A lot of wins happening in this group. So, yeah, take care, everyone. Talk soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, see ya.
Yeah.
Bye.